was a little weaker than weeks past, but we are the Shide Show.
Hello!
Welcome home, everyone.
Welcome home.
I am Brian Gerard, alongside Greg Hoyt, and of course, the Robert the Shide.
Hello, everybody.
Good evening, everyone.
Or morning. Right?
Yeah, I smell a hint of onion left over from Brian's disaster of a salad last week.
The Chinese chicken McOnion salad.
McDisgusting salad.
Did you guys wake up the next day feeling an enormous amount of energy that you hadn't had the day before?
No. My eyes were weeping all day.
Yeah.
Burning.
Same here. Sorry.
Well, I did. And you know why? It's because of the super antioxidant onion that I put in that magnificent salad that
I
made.
Bullshit.
I'll believe Greg on this
one.
That's
bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't think onions are even antioxidants at all.
They're anti-relationship vegetables.
Nature's candy.
Do you want to not get laid? Eat as much onion as you gave us that night. That's
really?
For people in the know.
You got to be in a club to get away with that.
To know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in that club.
Well, I drive a high performance vehicle. You don't.
Is that vehicle still for sale?
It's for seal.
For seal?
Is it for seal?
Yeah, vehicle still for seal.
Brian's trying to donate to the Seal Foundation.
I thought it was
Heidi Klum's
musical.
Husband is in need of a car, and
the artist,
as we've all heard, he's put out the APB for
wants
a new
fair
car.
Lady.
Is it specifically a fair lady?
I
just thought
so.
He was looking for a new car.
No,
Brian
no,
was
going
to donate it to the Seal Foundation.
Brian's car. Is it still for Seal?
Not this week, no.
Oh.
But maybe. I mean, I'm always entertaining. Anything's for sale if the right offer comes in.
Yeah,
I mean,
who we can put it up on Craigslist.
Anything. If someone came to you and said, Robert, those headphones that you're so fashionably wearing, I'll give you $1,000 for them.
I would sell them to him.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
So anything's for sale at any time.
But that's kind of an easy thing. Why don't we
go for
something a little...
How about you approach me for a dollar?
Oh. Robert, I'll give you $250 for those microphones.
Can we stop about the microphones? Yeah. Like, it's something that's actually important. Robert would probably get rid of those microphones.
The headphones?
The headphones.
For those microphones on his head for $15. So
I think you're mistaken about... These are headphones, just so you know.
Okay, so you want to raise the stakes.
I just am saying, like, let's do something interesting for the viewers.
All right. For the viewers?
Yep.
The people who are watching their podcast right now saying, what am I listening to?
And why is Robert wearing headphones on his head?
No, headphones is right. You meant...
Microphones.
Yeah.
Right.
So...
Exactly.
If someone were to come to you and offer you money for your motorcycle...
Oh, okay. How much?
Right. How much? How much would you sell it for?
Man.
I don't think you're playing this right. I think
I'm supposed to make an offer.
Yeah,
oh, Robert, I'll give you $50,000 for your motorcycle.
Sold.
See? Everything's for sale.
No, but does that
work? Doesn't make sense, because how much did you buy that for?
$3,000.
But that's for
and I put some money into it.
In my mind, as a purchaser, I'm
going to
be... If I have $50,000 I want to spend, I want that. I think it's worth $50,000. That's my offer.
Are you saying 15 or 50?
50, 50.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying
like
sold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You seem like a person, if you're offering $50,000 for Robert's motorcycle, that's having a manic episode and that you're off your meds.
Maybe.
Because that just seems like a really...
But that's business fundamentals that's happening right there.
Business fundamentals is you go to someone, you see what they have, and then you grossly overbid on it.
Yes.
If you really want it,
you'll get it.
But don't you think you could have walked up to Robert and been like, hey, fucking $15,000 for your bike? And he would have been like, absolutely. And then you got, count them,
in
his pocket.
Well, you do business your way, I do it mine. Who's more successful? If I have 50 that I can spend on that bike,
you win.
I'm winning.
You're winning. But what if that's
until
all
you get
you
rid
have?
Of it all?
Yeah.
And you just end up with
you
a bike.
Drain it. What if that's your life savings?
Then I potentially have made a bad business decision.
In other words, Brian Gerard is not a financial advisor, nor should he ever be a financial advisor in the future for anyone.
But I like that it's not he definitely made a bad decision if he spent $50,000 on the bike. It's just a potential. He's saying, like, potentially I've made a bad decision. He's willing to admit potentially by spending his life savings on your bike that's worth $5,000.
But it's not. But if I really want it, and if that's something that I, how is that a bad decision?
What are you going to do? Objective. Double ride people around the city for money?
It's my choice. I have a question.
Uh oh.
On a very special The Shide Show,
Brian asks a question.
When you go and see a movie or a play or a band or some sort of live performance. And it is terrible. Mm-hmm. How do you then react? How do you deal with that?
During, what do you do? During it?
Whatever. During it, after it. Do you just sit through it and be like, well, that was a colossal waste of my time? Or do you then go up to said performers and address them, telling them that whatever they just did to please for the sake of the world and for themselves, never to do it again?
Or do you lie to them and say, man, that was great, and then you leave?
If I don't like it, okay, that's a couple of questions. If right. I don't, during, let me address during it. I go in with high hopes. Always. I try. I just am like, I try. Well, no, I try to like at least sure. not be totally shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it unfolds, if it's immediately terrible, I let go of all hope in humanity. Immediately.
Wow.
And I let go of all, I scan the cast and see if there's anything that I can watch that's watchable.
Anything as in beautiful.
Breasts,
okay.
Acting ability. Interesting.
Floating piece of dust on catching the light.
Literally.
But I'm also talking bands, you know, music.
Okay.
Or not just theater.
So if I'm watching it, I would find something.
Yeah.
To focus on. Mm-hmm. And then my game is, if it's this is a shitty play, this is a shitty band, I'm having a nightmare time. I then go into, I'm going to watch that person. Everything that person does, I'm watching. Just because it's a game. It's a stay of execution at that point. I just need to live through it.
It's no longer about the actual show.
No longer about the show. Yeah. I'm not even hearing the words. Hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
you're just
it's gone.
Staring at her chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's a fun game.
Just stare at the chest.
Whose responsibility is it to... or is there a responsibility to put these kind of expressions in check? Or is it...
No. I mean, it's certainly not my response. My response after a show like that is leave. So if I come to a show that you guys are in that sucks, I just leave.
And if you're not there afterwards, you're just supposed to know it sucks.
No, not necessarily. If it's a friend and there's like a space where I could talk to them about it,
yeah,
I'll talk to them about it.
But
like me being like, hey guys, this show sucked.
Right.
And you should stop. Yeah. This pursuit.
Right.
For me,
I guess that's getting to the deeper root of it. At what point is it constructive to be like, you know what, if there are friends of yours and they're in a, you know, whether it be a band or they're acting in a play or did a movie or something, where you're like, it's not working. It's not good. Maybe you should look into doing something else. How does that discussion happen? Does it happen? And do you feel responsible to have that conversation if you are being invited and supporting your friends, and that is the case?
You certainly
or do
don't,
we just,
no, you
do
don't
we
have
just,
that conversation at the night of the show.
No.
You know, you walk out and say, well, you should really stop trying to do that. I think it's awful.
Hey, it's Friday night, and I just want to say something to you. You know, I saw the show. And
yeah,
I think,
what'd you think?
It was fucking terrible.
What?
It was terrible, Robert. And I think that you should stop trying to be an actor.
You know, you had a degree in what?
Journalism? German journalism?
I didn't write the show. I just...
Robert, I really think you should just take a minute and think about journalism and what that career path is going to be like for you.
Or the Spanish language. But
I want to be an actor, though.
I understand what you want to be, but clearly after tonight's display, you are not.
Robert, I watched I watched Deirdre's chest the whole show because that was the only thing that it was interesting. She was wearing a lime green halter top.
She was only on in the beginning.
I know, but I could see her off stage eating a carrot. Uh-huh. And so that's what I watched the whole show.
But you didn't watch me? I mean,
no, Robert, because you were fucking awful.
Wow.
Hmm.
Right, Brian?
But you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome
we're having
this conversation.
Yeah. I'm supposed to thank.
In 40
that wasn't
years,
me thanking.
Hey,
yeah, no,
in
you.
40
won't.
Years, when you are married and in middle management, and you have however many children that you begrudgingly have,
and they all hate you,
you are going to thank us even more.
You're
going to
be
you
look
right
at this
now.
Moment, and you're going to be like,
"Can I do a sound effect right now?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that?
What are you doing?
Oh. What was the sound? What was that sound?
He shot like his ear off. He didn't want to hear it anymore.
A gunshot in a field. Frozen field. Because you'll be living in, like, Wisconsin.
That's what it was.
But I'll never tell anybody to stop pursuing their dream. It's not my place. Yeah. I think that one of the things that I always have had a problem with, especially since moving to Los Angeles, and I'm an actor, and you are, and in acting classes, there are blatant examples of people who should not be trying to be an actor.
I agree.
And the acting teachers just want their money, so they don't ever say that. And I think that's a real disservice. And I'm sure you're an acting, you teach that shit, you teach improv and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people in your classes that are nightmares, and you're just like, oh my God.
I think there's a major difference with improv, though, and taking an acting class.
Where it's like people being like, I'm having fun, and opening up. And,
yeah, I mean, because, exactly. I mean, these people, I think that improv can help anybody. Anybody, even if you're not looking to go into acting, there are people who have taken the improv who are doctors or lawyers and or people who are going into politics.
I bet that's great when your doctor comes in and starts doing bits and you're just waiting for the AIDS results.
he's just like, okay, give me a location. Yeah. Oh, doctor's
names.
Office.
Dr. Livingston, please.
No, come on, give me a location. Come on.
Okay, a bus stop.
Bus stop, okay. I've got your test results and we'll just play with that. Okay. What time is the bus coming?
Dr. Livingston, your voice changed. Why did your voice change at the bus stop?
You don't need to be a character.
You should call me Henry.
Sir. Henry, your voice is so much different at the bus stop.
Yes, that is because I am carrying a monkey on my back.
What?
See, that's where, as the teacher of this improv class, I'd go up to Dr. Livingston and tell him to stop.
Everyone in the class, just wait a second. I need to talk to Dr. Livingston. I'm not going to talk to him privately, but I am going to say some private things.
And if you could pick up all of your stuff that's around you before I tell you this, it's just going to be a little faster.
And things might start blowing around the room, like dust and paper, depending on how he reacts. Dr. Livingston... Dr. Livingston?
Yeah, yes.
How did you feel that scene went?
Well, I thought it was...
Shut the fuck up. Get out. And never return.
Thank you. Thank you. Greg Hoy, teaching. There it goes. I can't wait for you to start your own acting studio.
Yeah, you're going to be a great teacher. Really encouraging.
You're going to open up your own acting studio. It's going to be the best one ever. Because you're going to be like, thank you for your money, and I'm just going to go down the line and tell you whether you should stick with it or quit. Now, I'm only going to say stick with it for two of you, and the rest of you, you're welcome for me saving your life.
Yeah.
But Daniel Day-Lewis is in this class. He's out.
He's not one of them.
He's not anymore.
The Acting Academy of Gregory Hoyt.
Ladies and gentlemen, I pronounce to you Emeritus himself, Mr. Gregory Peter Hoyt.
It's Gregory Peter Lewis Hoyt, if we
are. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement to make. Mm. Please welcome Senor Emeritus of Acting, of Theatrical Presentation.
Indeed.
Mr. Gregory Peter Lewis Hoyt.
Yeah.
Bravo, 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 bravo.
Hello, thank you. Beep. Everyone, please take your seats.
Beep. Can I hear? I want to.
Robert Scheid, why are you here?
Because I enrolled in
security.
I enrolled in your academy.
Get this non-actor out of the auditorium.
Fool up, Bon. You were. What are you doing?
Hey, I'm graduating today.
You're not graduating. Shit.
Cut off his ears.
Please carry on, Mr. Hoyt.
Thank you. As graduates of GAMGA, Gregory Academy, Great Actors of Motion, whatever it stands for, you shall go out into the world with Shakespeare under your arm. And when times get tough, you will quote Shakespeare. And everyone will think you're smart. And someone put a stake in Mr. Scheid. Blow a dart him. Again.
Oh, that's my eye.
Again.
Oh.
As my ex-wife Dolores once said, all's well that ends well. Good night.
And good luck.
And good luck. Thank you. Thank you, David.
This really hurts.
Someone cut his face off. With a lampshade.
I'd like to thank Dr. Hoyt and his words of wisdom.
You're welcome.
We are the Shad Show. Yeah.
So alone, if they knew my name in every home. Kevin Spacey would call on the phone, but I'd be too busy. Come back to the old 5 and 9. Cameron Diaz, give me a sign. I'd make you smile all the time. And your conversation would compliment mine.